Right now, the farm-to-table restaurant is the biggest of the latest big things. Yet, I have to wonder how many of those farms that send food to those tables are in places like Venezuela. The ideals behind farm-to-table of buying local, supporting sustainable agriculture, and offering fair pay often don't end up in a profitable business, especially if your restaurant's in a place where the growing season is an afterthought. Well, Minnesota chef Lenny Russo is a member of an exclusive club. That is, a handful of North Country chefs who figured out how the idealistic methods of farm-to-table can work with their bottom line. He practices this at his restaurant in St. Paul, Heartland. Then again, I think he's been up to his ears in local agricultural issues since 1985 when he stepped off the plane from Florida. Now, in the spirit of full disclosure, I should add that Lenny's a longtime friend, and I've written the foreword to his book, Heartland, Farm Forward Dishes from the Great Midwest. Hey, Lenny, it's good to have you with us.
I'm so happy to be here. It's just so great to see you.
I want to know about the realities that a chef faces when you're talking farm to table.
Well, it really depends on how farm to table you are, so to speak. The reality is that we use just local product. And given how northern we are, winter poses a significant challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Another challenge is to make sure that you're using everything the farmer provides you. So we're buying whole animals and using everything.
Right.
And so you have to find, there's place for the kidney. You have to figure out how you're going to use it, the liver, mm-hmm. the tongue, everything. And then, of course, when you're talking about sustainability, which is part of the local food movement, we're not just talking about sustaining the land. We're talking about sustaining the people on the land. And so it's really important if your farmer is using cover crop to use the cover crop as well. So if it's rye, you want to use the rye.
Why don't you explain what a cover crop is and how it's used?
Right. Well, when a farmer's rotating his or her fields, if they have something that is drawing a lot of nutrient from the soil, they want to follow with something that replenishes the soil. So that's all about sustaining the land while you're sustaining the farmer. So you're buying that cover crop. So we use lentils. We use lots of different grains that might normally not be seen.
Is this what most restaurants do when they're doing farm to table?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that most chefs recognize the fact that you have to buy the cover crop as well. And that's extremely important. If we're going to sustain the farmer, we have to make sure that there's some place for all of the crops to go.
So you started working in this idea of farm to table long before a lot of other people did.
It's pretty much the way I always cooked. Yes.
Yeah. And I guess my question is, how do you make this pay?
Very meagerly. it can be a challenge. And part of the challenge is that we pay fair trade and living wage at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I can probably buy sustainably raised product, like particularly meat, that would fit all the parameters except for it being local. So, for instance, if I want to buy lamb, I could probably buy it from New Zealand more cheaply than I can buy it from a local farmer who's very small production and mm-hmm. does not have mm-hmm. government support for pricing. So you have to spend a little bit more. But I think that what's important for us is keeping as much of the money in the local economy as possible and helping our small farmers prosper. I think that back when we opened Heartland 14 years ago, paying living wage, paying fair trade, buying from farmers who practice humane and sustainable agriculture were considered relatively revolutionary concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Today, if you're not doing that, at least to some extent, you're not even in the game.
If someone came to you today, if I were, a young chef and I said, I want to do what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
what would you say? How would you tell them to begin?
Okay. Lock yourself in a closet until you change your mind. I think it's really important to educate yourself and certainly to get out to the farm and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's really an integral piece of what we do is understanding the farmer, what they do, what they go through so that you can be a better partner.
Yeah.
So that, I think, would be the first step. The second step would be, embed yourself in a place that you respect. and learn. So mm-hmm. if you need to learn butchery from head to tail, well, you know, ask a chef who does that if you can spend some time in the kitchen. You know, the other thing I would encourage people to do is try and think outside of the box when it comes to creating the food that you want to eat and that you want others to eat. So the combinations might be different. You know, when you're, you know, what do I do with in the middle of winter when I'm faced with eight different types of root vegetables and not much else? And so rethink how you would use those vegetables. Just think of creative ways to use them, everything from, you know, from your first course to the last.
Yeah. Yeah, which leads to turnip ice cream.
It leads to turnip ice cream.
Which, believe it or not, I've actually had, and it wasn't too bad.
No. No. I love turnips.
But with all these ideas, with all of these great beliefs and whatever, do you ever want to just throw up your hands and call the Cisco truck?
No.
No?
No, never once have I ever wanted to do that. No. No, as a matter of fact, I don't have a broadliner at all, even for supplies for the bar.
A broadliner, what is that?
That's a broadliner is a purveyor that has a broad line of products. So so everything from produce to, you know, pre-made frozen stuff in a box. So typically a restaurant would employ a broadliner to supply things that maybe your bar needs, like, you know, different juices and mixers things like that. So we don't use that. We manufacture much of that. So it takes a concerted effort. It takes a lot of hard work. It's not that easy.
Do the customers tell the difference?
I believe so. I think that they appreciate the freshness of the product. I think they understand the creativity that's behind it. And when you're changing your menu every day, at least to some extent, like we do, because there are limited supply on certain items, force us to constantly change the menu. I think they appreciate the creativity and the collaborative nature of the kitchen, which is very experimental in the way that we do it.
Lenny, thanks for talking with us.
I couldn't be happier to be here.
Nor could I in having you.
Thank you so much, Lenny.
Lenny Russo is a James Beard multiple nominee for Best Chef Midwest. His restaurant Heartland is in St. Paul, Minnesota. His new book is Heartland, Farm Forward Dishes from the Great Midwest. Now, Lenny does a green asparagus soup with celery seed, sour cream, and toasted hazelnuts that we make into a Friday night supper. You can find the recipe at splendidtable.org.